Now, let me ask you a question. Would you like to have someone live with you in your house for your entire life, or for all of eternity for that matter, and they didn't like you? Instead, they actually hated you? No. Wouldn't you want, if somebody's going to live with you in your house for the rest of your life, you'd want them to be somebody who loves you? Well, yeah, of course you would. Well, so does God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we bring the series to a close, Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles, Rick will take a final look at how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to impact the world around you. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about how you can get an amazing audio collection that will help you live an extraordinary life of faith. It's called the Daring Faith Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with a message called Daring to Go in Faith.
Two of the words that summarize the message of Jesus are these: come and go. You might write that down. Come and go are two of the words that summarize what Jesus came to tell us about. To the hurting, to the confused, to the lost, to the broken, to the frustrated, to the guilty, to the depressed, Jesus says, come. He says, come. To those of us who have been saved, had our lives transformed, been changed, been turned upside down for the better, he says to us, go. The verb changes. Look at this verse. Matthew 11, Jesus says this: if you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, if you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble and you'll find rest. My yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. A yoke is what you'd use to put two cattle together so that the load is lightened. Instead of one cow pulling the wagon, two can share it. Jesus says, yoke up with me, partner with me, and I'll help you carry your load. And if you're under stress right now, Jesus says to you, come to me. But then once you're in God's family, and once your life has been healed and made whole and your life has been changed, God changes the verb and he says to you, go. Luke 7:50, Jesus said, your faith has saved you. Now go. James 2:17, any faith that doesn't lead us to go into action with good deeds is worthless. It's dead and useless. If you claim to be a Christian and you're not going, he says, your faith is dead and useless. Now, God is in the business of telling people to go. He told Noah, go build an ark. He told Abraham, go to another country and I'm going to give you a new homeland. He told Moses, go back to Egypt and get the children of Israel and I'm going to release them. And he tells Jacob to go, and he tells Gideon to go, and he tells Isaiah to go, and he tells Paul and David and on and on. It is a going message. So this weekend is our final message in Daring Faith. I want us to look at daring to go in faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you like to have someone live with you in your house for your entire life, or for all of eternity for that matter, and they didn't like you? Instead, they actually hated you? No. Wouldn't you want, if somebody's going to live with you in your house for the rest of your life, you'd want them to be somebody who loves you? Well, yeah, of course you would. Well, so does God. And that's why people who don't love God don't go to heaven. God only wants people in heaven who really genuinely want to be there, who genuinely love him. Why would anybody ignore God their entire life on earth and then want to go live with him for eternity? That makes no sense. And so God puts us on earth instead of taking us directly to heaven to let us decide, each of us get to decide whether we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength or not. And he lets us decide. It's our choice. Now, the fact is, the Bible tells us God has invited you to a party. And it's the biggest party ever in the universe. And it's going to last forever and ever and ever. And it's going to be in heaven. It's going to be the banquet to end all banquets. It's going to be the party to end all parties. It's going to be a celebration that lasts for eternity. And you're invited. You're invited. But some people, for one reason or another, reject the invitation. Jesus said, I am the way. You come to the Father through me. Now, Jesus told a story to explain the party that you've been invited to by God. Luke chapter 14. It's there on your outline. A very powerful and generous man prepared a great banquet, and he invited many prominent guests. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to go and tell those invited to come. He said, come, for now everything is ready. But they, that's those invited, all began to make excuses. The first guy says, I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I've just acquired five pair of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, when the servant reported this, the owner of the estate became angry. And he told his servant, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of our city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame as my guest. And the servant said, Master, we've already done this, but there's still room for more in your banquet. And the master said, then go out of the city to the roads and the country lanes and go everywhere and invite everyone to come so that my house will be full. I promise you this, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them. That's a sad statement. That a lot of people in life are never going to get to taste what God had prepared for them simply because they didn't accept the invitation. They were too busy. Now, God has prepared a generous banquet for all of us. It's a party in heaven that's going to go on for eternity. And the food's going to be like nothing you've ever eaten. I'm waiting for that. And the Bible says God planned this party because he's gracious and because God is generous. All generosity comes from God. And the Bible says God wants a full house. He wants a lot of people in heaven. He doesn't want a few people in heaven. He wants his house full. Full. Now, I want you to notice three things in this story. First thing is that God says that some people are going to reject his invitation. And he said when they reject it, they're going to regret it. Those who reject the invitation will regret it. And he says, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them. How dumb is that? To miss a party that God planned for you. But a lot of people do it. And notice that the excuses that people gave for not participating, they were all lame. The first guy said, oh, I can't come to the party because I just bought a field. Really? It's going to be there tomorrow. A field's not going to move. What's going to be any different? I just bought a farm. I got to go see it. Really, could you not wait a day and go see it? That's a dumb excuse. Second guy says, I just acquired a new business asset. I got some new oxen. That's like saying I got some new equipment. I just got some new physical assets for my business. And I'm going to let my business keep me from accepting God's invitation. The third guy says, I just got married. I'm going to let a relationship keep me from accepting God's invitation. These are all lame excuses. But then he says this, if you are a servant, remember he sent the servant out to go get all the guests? He said, if you are a servant of God, your job is to bring in the guest. So, question, are you a servant of God? Are you a child of God? Are you in God's family? Are you saved? Then this is your job description. While you're here on this planet, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a child of God, you claim to be a servant of God, this is your job description. Go invite the guests. He says, that's what you're to do. I want you to circle a number of things in this passage. First, circle, go and tell. Circle the phrase, go and tell. And then circle, go quickly. And then circle, bring in. And then circle, go out of our city. And then circle, go everywhere. And then circle, invite everyone to come. Those six things, go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out of the city, go everywhere, invite everyone, that's your job as a Christian. If you've truly been saved, you've truly been transformed, you're truly born again, You're truly in the family of God. That's your job description the rest of your life here on earth. You are to go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out to our city, go everywhere, invite everybody to come in. This is what it means to dare to go in faith. I got to thinking this week, how many important words in the Christian life cannot be spelled without G-O? You can't spell God without go. Gospel, good news, goodness. And so I wrote down here on your outline, I must go to obey God. I must go to do good. I must go to live the gospel. I must go to become godly. I must go to reach my goals, and I must go to share the good news. These things can't be done without go. Go is included in these things. And here are some practical ways that you can be a goer. By the way, have you ever heard the phrase, he's a go-getter, or she's a go-getter? What does that mean? A go-getter is someone who is determined to succeed, and they will pay any cost and put forth the extra effort and do the hard work and do what's unexpected in order to succeed. That's a go-getter. God wants you to be a go-getter for the kingdom of God. He wants you to go and get other people because he wants his house full. God doesn't want a few people in heaven. He wants a lot of people in heaven. And so our first goal in FAITH is 40,000 in worship each weekend by our 40th year. Why? Because Jesus said, urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full. You know, sometimes people say, well, why don't we just, we're big enough. Our church is big enough. Why do we need anybody else? Well, what if I'd said that when we had 500 people? You wouldn't be here. Or when we had 1,000 or 2,000 or even 5,000, you wouldn't be here. There would be a lot of people headed in the wrong direction, not headed to heaven, if we didn't keep reaching out. As long as there's one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, this church is going to keep reaching out because God has never made a person he doesn't love, never made a person he didn't die for, never made a person that he doesn't want in heaven. So we're going to keep reaching out. The Bible says the Father is actively seeking people who will worship him. Here's some practical opportunities to grow. You can help us start a new campus in Southern California. Maybe you live in Long Beach or you live in another city where we could start. We're going to start 10 new Saddlebacks in the next 3 years here in Southern California. You could help do that. Or you could help start an extension worship service. We're doing them in prisons. We're doing them in assisted living homes. We're doing them in hospitals. And we're even doing them on college campuses. For instance, Saddleback Rancho Capistrano has an extension at the Dana Point Harbor at the boathouse. And a couple hundred people come to worship there. Saddleback Huntington Beach, or it's now Newport Mesa, has an extension in Corona Del Mar at the theater. And people go there. Chino Prison started 40 Days of Purpose. And they're doing the services of 40 Days of Purpose in Chino. And there was so many prisoners wanted to come to it, they started giving tickets to get into chapel. Can you imagine that? So many people wanting to go to service, giving tickets. And a guy told me just recently, a guy walked in with a ticket and the guy looked down and said, this is fake. He goes, where'd you get it? He goes, I bought it on the black market. They go, wait a minute, somebody's selling tickets to church that are fake? He goes, well, yeah. He goes, I really wanted to come. And guy said, well, look, as long as the fire marshal isn't here, come on in. So they let the guy in. They were just worried about how many people could sit there. We right now, the Saddleback Laguna Woods is doing extension services in 16 assisted living homes. The thing is, right now we have 11 more that have asked for us to come and start the services, but we don't have the volunteers. You could do that. You could go once a week to a worship service with elderly people and just encourage them and show some love to people who feel like they're forgotten. I remember when we started a worship service in assisted living, and a lady said, you know, I thought I'd never get to go to church again after I moved in here because I can't leave. And so we're doing that. And then I want to challenge you to accept a personal daring faith goal. There on your outline, I want to challenge you to pray and trust God to give you the privilege of bringing one person to Christ in the next 3 years. That I'll help them to be baptized, join our church family, join a small group, get involved in our church. You know, if every member reached one other person in the next 3 years, that'd mean we'd double. I mean, we'd have 100% growth and more people would be headed for heaven. That's a good thing. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? The A in faith stands for our second goal, which is during the next 3 years, we're going to assist 250,000 needy people, hungry, poor, sick, needing help, tutoring, jobs, training, things like that, through our local peace plan. Why do we do that? Because Jesus said, whenever you care for the least of these, you care for me. And here are a couple of opportunities. You could help start a new local peace center, one of our campuses. In the next 3 years, we're going to start 10 new peace centers. You know, a couple years ago, we started one here at Lake Forest. It's fed over 100,000 people free food. That's a good thing. We do all kinds of different ministries, over 500 different ministries to the community. We're going to start these peace centers at 10 of our campuses. You could do that. Could you find a little bit of time in your week to help somebody unselfishly? Maybe. Then another thing, you could serve in one of our local church ministries through a peace center. The I is a third goal, which is we're going to interconnect our church family through new technologies. We have now new technologies that allow us to stay connected to all of our campuses and all of our small groups and all of our Bible studies, things like that, stay connected. And we want to do that because the Bible says, then you'll be all joined together and you'll give glory to God. Here are a couple of opportunities. If you have background in technology, this would be someplace you could serve in your church family. You want to use your skills and experience in technology to help develop mobile apps, to assist in video editing, video engineering, help with software programming, develop and design websites, manage and assist in other areas of technology. Or if you want to use your experience in construction and architecture to help design and build and equip the larger broadcast web studio, which we're going to do to connect to all of our churches. That's in the I. The fourth goal we have for Daring Faith is to train 25% of our members to be global leaders. They're going to be global leaders in the church, in business, in arts, in media, and in the community through a new Saddleback Global Leadership Training Center. That'll be a three-story building that we're building to train all of our campuses in leadership development and to send out through the technology that we just talked about. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew 5, the church is to equip God's people to do his work. That's Ephesians, actually. It equipped God's people to do his work and to build the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, take the teaching that you've heard from me and now teach it to other reliable people who will be able to teach it to others also. Some of you could be trained to be teachers. And here's some opportunities. You could be trained to help teach part of class 101 or 201 or 301 or 401 because we're going to be starting this in all of our new campuses. There'll be about 20 101s a month to be needing teachers and helping out. You could be trained to teach foundations, which is our basic Christian life study. You could be trained to be a part of a purpose-driven renewal team that helps other churches be renewed and implement our strategy in the peace plan. You could be trained to teach the purpose-driven life. You could be trained to teach purpose-driven church strategy. These are just some of the things we'll be doing in our Global Leadership Center. And then the H in faith represents help take the good news to the last 3,000 unreached tribes on earth. We call this the final frontier of our global peace plan. Why? Because the Bible says in Matthew 25, Jesus said this, this gospel will be preached as a witness to all people in every nation, and then the end will come. Now, there's one problem with that verse. There are still 3,000 tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no Bible, body of Christ, no church. They have never even heard the name of Jesus. Still, 2,000 years later, there are 3,000 tribes, they're all small, spread out all around the world, that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. Jesus said, I'm not coming back till there's somebody from every tribe has come to know me. The Bible says it twice in the book of Revelation, that around the throne in heaven, there will be people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. We take that serious. And at Saddleback, we say, we're going to go after to help finish, take down that final goal. We're going to do it with other churches. We're going to get other churches involved. But you could help do that. Here's some opportunities to grow in faith. You can help with our All Africa Continental Congress. We're going to bring the top Christian leaders from all 56 nations in Africa together for that week of training. You can help go before or after and help train other churches. You could help teach the purpose-driven church strategy in churches overseas. We can teach you how to do that. You can assist and support in one of our four international campuses, Saddleback Berlin or Buenos Aires or Hong Kong or South Manila. And we love these campuses and we love our members there. And I just talked to a guy who's 80 years old who's going to spend a couple months at Saddleback Berlin just to help out any way that he can. These are some practical ways. Now look on the back of the outline. During the next 3 years, because really we're starting Daring Faith now. What we've just been doing was all preparation. The next 3 years will be Daring Faith. Where are we going? If God says, I want you to go, then where are we going? Well, we're going to go four places. You might write these down. First, we're going to go to God for help. We're going to go to God for help. We know we can't do it on our own. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. The Bible says in Psalm 34:10, those who go to the Lord for help will have every good thing. That's a promise. It's a promise. Psalm 37:40, God helps them and rescues them and saves them from the wicked because they go to him for protection. Let me show you a couple others up here on the screen. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:12, we can go to God with bold confidence through faith in Christ. And the Bible says in Psalm 34:22, no one who runs to him loses out. So where are we going to go first? We're going to go to God. We go to God for help in all the things he's called us to do because he gives us the power to do it. Number two, second thing we're going to do, we're going to go together for support. We're going to go together for support. We're much more effective together. We're better together. We can accomplish more together than we could ever on our own. As I said, one drop of rain doesn't make any difference, but a million drops of rain can turn a desert into a garden. And the reason we're going to join together and cooperate is three reasons. First is life's tough. Everybody agree with that? Life's tough, and you need support. The Bible says in Acts 14:22, Paul and Barnabas strengthened the disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith, reminding them that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. It's not an easy path doing the right thing. It's much easier to be selfish. Very easy to be selfish in life. It's very hard to be unselfish. And we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So life's tough. We need to go through it together. Not only that, anytime you try to do something good, evil's going to oppose you. Evil always opposes good. And the Bible says in Philippians 1, I want to hear that you're working together and that you're struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. That's going to the good news. Don't be intimidated by those who oppose you. You've been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We're in this fight together. So keep on loving one another and working together with one heart and purpose. Life's tough. We're going to have opposition. But there's another reason we work together. It's because we can afford to do more together. And together, we're going to do stuff that nobody could do on their own. You couldn't, and I couldn't. And this is a significant symbol of what happens when we work together. You can't always go to every nation in the world, but you can help send people. In fact, the Bible says it like this for 3 John chapter 1. We must support believers who go on trips like this so we can work together with them in spreading the truth. And then the third thing we're going to do, what are we going to do? We're going to go on to maturity. The Bible says it like this, Hebrews 6:1. Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. 2 Peter 1:8. The more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus. You know what the sad thing is? Some people just don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up spiritually. They don't want to have their faith stretched. They don't want to learn to trust God in everywhere. They're afraid to trust God with their finances. They're afraid to trust God with their time. And as a result, they live in baby beach their entire life. They never go out into the deep end of the pool. And they kick around in the shallows and live a very shallow life because they're afraid to trust God. And the Bible says about them, 2 Peter 1, anybody who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind or very short-sighted and has forgotten that God delivered us from the old life of sin so that now we can live a strong, good life for the Lord. We're going to go on faith. We're going to go to God. We're going to go together. We're going to go on to maturity. And number four, we're going to go tell the good news. We're going to go tell the good news using every available means at every available time to reach every available person, including mobile apps and everything else, internet, social media. We're going to make history. The Bible says this in Romans 10. Anybody who asks the Lord for help will be saved. But before people can trust the Lord, they must believe in him. And before they can believe in him, they must hear about him, obviously. And to hear about him, somebody must go and tell them. And before somebody can go and tell them, he must be sent. It is written, how beautiful is the person who comes to bring the good news. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go tell the good news. And we're not going to do this on our own power. Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be given my power. And you are to go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now notice it says, God's Spirit will come on you and you'll get power. And he says, the result of that is you go. Now listen very close to me. The proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit is not some emotional experience. The proof that you have God's Spirit is not speaking in tongues. The proof that you have God's Spirit is not how high you jump. The proof that you have God's Spirit in you is, are you going? Are you telling anybody the good news? The proof of filling is that you're going. Now, the next verse, it sounds pretty callous until you understand that Jesus is using a hyperbole. Hyperbole means an intentional exaggeration, an intentional and extravagant statement just to get your attention to make a point. It's not to be taken literally. But here's what Jesus says in Luke 9:60. Jesus said, let people who are dead bury the dead. Your job is to go and tell others about God's kingdom. Now, what in the world does he mean by that statement? What's he mean by that? I mean, it sounds pretty callous. Let dead people bury dead people. You go tell people the good news. What he's saying here is that you need to be indispensable. He's saying there's some jobs and some tasks in life that anybody can do. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe in Christ. It's a job anybody can do. But there's some jobs that only a believer can do. Only a Christian can do. Only a Christian can tell other people about Christ. Only a Christian can tell other people how to get to heaven. Only a Christian can show Christ's compassion the way Christ wants it shown. And he says, be indispensable. Let people who are spiritually dead do the things that anybody can do. And you should spend more of your life doing things that only you can do. There's a lot of stuff you can spend the rest of your life doing that when you get to heaven, it isn't going to amount at all. It isn't going to make any difference at all. But the real issue is, as I said, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? The greatest legacy is having somebody come up to you in heaven and say, I'm here because of you. That's using your life in a valuable way. Now, Saddleback was founded in obedience to what is called the Great Commission. It's the last words of Jesus before he goes back to heaven. And Jesus says this, and we founded this church because of this verse, Matthew 28. Jesus said, all power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, I got it all. Therefore, go, there's the word go. Go to all people in every nation and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to do everything I have told you. And here's the promise, I will be with you always. When God says go, never say no. When God says go, never say no. One day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, did you receive me, my son? Yes, I did. Did you go after you received my son? No. Why? I told you to. You think I only wanted you saved? You think you're the only person I wanted in heaven? No, I left you on earth to tell other people. What legacy will you leave? Do you know anything in your life that's going to be bigger and more important than that? If you do, stand up right now and tell us. If you know a more important thing to do with your life than bringing people into God's family, I'd like to know it, because I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to waste my life. And I haven't. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a lot of friends. A lot of friends. And many of you are going to have a lot of friends too. That is a legacy. I can't imagine me getting to heaven and somebody comes and says, were you at Saddleback back in the early 2000s? Yeah. Were you there when they did Daring Faith? Yeah. You saw it all happen? Yeah. What was it like to participate? Well, I didn't really participate. Are you kidding me? You were there and you didn't participate? What were you thinking? What will our legacy be? The Bible says this. Look at this verse on the screen. If you ask me, I will give you the nations. All the people on earth will be yours. That is a promise this church has decided to claim. Other churches have not decided to claim it, but we're going to claim it. We're saying, God, we want to see fruit in every nation of the world. We want to see people in heaven from every nation because of our unselfishness with our time, with our money, with our generosity, with our commitments. Let me read you this Daring Faith commitment. I want to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you to read it with me. In gratitude for all that Christ has done for me, and out of a deep desire to grow in my faith, and in obedience to Christ's command that I store up treasure in heaven, he said it five times, I make a covenant today with my brothers and sisters of Saddleback Church to use the next 3 years growing, sowing, and going in faith, in daring faith. I commit to showing and sharing God's love with those closest to me. We call that personal peace. Serving God by serving others in our community. We call that local peace. And supporting our outreach around the world. That's called global peace. Also, because I want somebody to be in heaven because I cared, I'm asking God to give me the privilege of bringing one person to Jesus in the next 3 years and see them be baptized and become a part of the fellowship of our church family. I know I cannot do this on my own power, but I will trust God in daring faith to see it happen. Let's bow our heads. Father, for those who prayed this prayer and sincerely meant it, I ask for your complete blessing on their lives. Protect their lives, protect their families, protect their minds, protect their health. I ask you to protect their finances, protect their jobs and careers, protect their relationships. I ask that you take care of all of their needs so that they may serve you by serving others. Lord, we're stepping out in faith. Many of us have made the biggest faith commitment financially, and now we make a commitment of our time and our lives to you, saying we want to not waste our lives. We want people in heaven that will be there because we used our time and our money wisely. I ask you to bless each person who's making this covenant. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, go to PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Now, if you'd like to live a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to get your very own copy of the Daring Faith Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
What happens when you have faith? How do you get ready for a miracle in your life? How do you prepare yourself for God doing something you've never thought possible? What do you do while you're waiting on God? These are some of the questions
that I answer in the Daring Faith audio series. Now, this series is a series that will teach you how to develop a deeper faith. And that's so important because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So I want you to get this Daring Faith audio series to show you how God wants to grow your faith. Now, this Daring Faith complete audio series comes with 10 CDs. Did you hear that? 10 full CDs boxed in a set or as an MP3 download. In Ephesians 3:12, the Bible says, because of our faith in him, we dare to have boldness, courage, and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to be able to come to God in prayer that way. Now, I believe that God will use this Daring Faith complete audio series to lead you to a deeper faith where you trust him in all things. So don't wait. Get it now.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a 10-CD box set of the Daring Faith complete audio series as our way of saying thanks. And you can choose either audio CDs or high-quality downloadable MP3s. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.